Text for our sermon this morning, our epistle reading from Revelation 22, especially these words. He who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming soon." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. So far, our text. The ending of Revelation always chokes me off. It's a powerful section there as Scripture comes to a close, as John finishes his work, as he writes what he's told to write. Jesus promises that he is coming soon, and so he is. The church, the bride of Christ, responds, "Come, Lord Jesus." The church for 2,000 years has expected, waited for Christ to come. We know he will in his time. There have been many over the years who take Revelation, try to parse it out. Well, this means that, and this means that, and therefore Christ must come at this moment. And so far they've all been proven false. It's not what Revelation is for. It's not some map to tell you the exact day and time and moment that Christ will come. No one knows but the Father. He will come like a thief in the night, meaning that we will not know when all things are complete, when all things are fulfilled, he will come again. Who was expecting him the first time? When Mary gave birth to a child, who was there to laud and glorify God? Some shepherds, but only because the angels told them to go and see. The church has stood guard, prepared for Christ to come back, ready. We know he will, for he has told us. We know what that day will be like. When Christ will separate the sheep from the goats, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What great words those will be to hear from the lips of Jesus himself, that our ears will hear and not someone else's, and our eyes will see and not someone else's. As the bride of Christ, we long for that day and all that follows into the timeless eternity. How bizarre that is, isn't it? We've always lived in time, but then there will be foreverness. What will that be like? We need a glimpse of that, don't we, in our text. What will that be like? Look around. It'll be like this. Jesus says so. In our text, we see that tree of life, the centerpiece of everything. Isn't that what we have? The tree of life hanging there above the altar? The lamb who's been slain for the sins of sinners? It'll be similar in heaven. The center of everything is Christ and him crucified, the Lamb whose blood was shed for you, painted over you through your baptism into him, that you have been washed clean. Isn't that how the saints will be standing there in heaven, wearing those white robes, washed clean through the blood of Christ? Isn't that how you're standing here, washed clean through baptism into Christ? Won't be that much different. They will have that new name on their foreheads. What name could that possibly be? What a mystery it is for those who try to parse out the book of Revelation and how simple it is for us Christians. It's not some secret knowledge, some hidden name. You know what it is. It's the name of Jesus. Written upon you at baptism. There, upon you, he wrote his name through that simple water, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, into which you were baptized and into which you died, that you would not die but live in Christ, that his victory there at the cross, the tree of life, would become your victory, and that his resurrection would become your resurrection. You have that name written upon you, marked as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. For the devil has no hold over you, neither the world nor your sin, but Christ and him alone. Indeed, for the one who is thirsty, the water is there that you would take without price. It sounds so much like John 4, when Jesus spoke to that woman at the well, offering her this incredible water that if you drink it, you will never be thirsty ever again. What can this water be? You know, it's baptism. As you've been washed in that water, you are never thirsty again. Not physically thirsty, spiritually. You have that ever-flowing tide of grace washing you again and again and again. What more do you need than the forgiveness of sins won for you in baptism? That's it. You've got it all. For those in heaven, they have it all. They're there before the throne of God day and night, worshiping him in his temple, covered in the blood of Christ, redeemed and saved. But so are you. As you sit here, that's exactly you. You're washed in the waters of your baptism, covered by the blood of Jesus. You stand before him perfect, serving him day and night in his temple, that he would shelter you with his presence. Of course, we still live in this tribulation. We're not there yet. We have the forgiveness of sins won for us by Jesus. It's been given to us through baptism. We have that tree of life. We have that water of life. But we still live here and now. We live in these sinful bodies, in this sinful world, with the devil always on our backs, tempting, trying to sift us like sand. We know it. You know it. You feel the effects of sin within yourself. You see it out there. You know how the evil one would rejoice if he could pull you away from Christ. That's why you're here, isn't it? The one place the devil doesn't want you to be. The one place the world does not want you to be. And even the one place your sinful nature doesn't want you to be. The devil would have you be anywhere else. The softball field. At some other great event. In your home. Preparing a meal. Sleeping. Taking care of someone else. Doing anything but being here. The Lamb's High Feast. So also the world would have you be anywhere else. Why would you want to be here, listening to some guy wearing a robe preach on some book that's thousands of years old? The world doesn't understand it. And so our sinful nature too demands that we be anywhere else but here. Yet here you are, with the name of God on your forehead, clothed in his righteousness, holding palm branches in your hands, redeemed and saved by Jesus Christ. You've received the tree of life. You have the water of life without payment. You've taken and received. So, you strengthen yourself for the rest of this journey. Prepare yourself in word and spirit. to resist the devil's temptations, to fight off the trials of the flesh, and to resist what the world tells us. That's why we're here, to receive again Jesus Christ, because he is coming soon. Today, tomorrow, 100, 1,000 years, soon. And thus we say, we who are prepared and ready, come, Lord Jesus. In his name, amen.